Leo, thank you again.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you this morning. Paul called me yesterday. I think it was late morning, and he told me of his situation, and well, here we are, and I'm happy to be with you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, for those that would like to follow along in your pew Bibles. And that is on page 1542 of the Pew Bible. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Praise be to you, Lord Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will answer. They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we observe Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, which is the last Sunday before Advent next week. And we find ourselves with Jesus at the end of a discourse that he has been giving, which started in chapter 24. And we have this image of Jesus as a shepherd and also as a king, Christ the King. And then within this apocalyptic text, there is judgment. But I do not think that that is the most important thing within this text. What's most important, I think, is where Christ the King is. And we can miss it. We can pass it by. Where is Christ? For us, God calls us to where Christ is often hidden and where Christ's presence is. The parable of the sheep and the goats, it starts with familial language. There's family language here. We're talking about family. In verse 31, when the Son of humanity comes, and then we have in verse 34, then the King will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Jesus relates himself to us, and he relates himself to God the Father. We're part of a family, all of us here today, all of creation, really. And the parable primarily addresses groups, not individuals. Jesus draws everybody into his comprehensive message. And he says in verse 32, all the nations, everybody and every nation gets included. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Does Reverend Tucker usually take his mask off up here? Okay, I'm going to take my... It's like I was trying to get through the pages of my notes here. It's like, let me just take this off for a little bit. In Jesus' day, shepherds would keep the sheep and the goats together. They would be together. And the only person I know that does anything with goats or sheep, I work with him, I work for Kroger too, and he raises goats. His name's Eric, and I saw him on Friday. I said, Eric, I'm preaching this text from Matthew. It's about sheep and goats. I don't know anything about goats or sheep. And I know he knows stuff about goats. And he's like, well, come on, that's where I'm headed right now. Willing to give me a lesson. I had to take a rain check on that. Sheep enjoyed the open air. Sheep like the open air. They don't mind the cold. They have that thick sheep wool coat that they have, where goats are a little more sensitive to the temperature. And goats are a little more self-willed. They can handle things somewhat on their own, where sheep need a lot of direction. They need the shepherd to take them out to graze, to bring them to water, to bring them in for the night. They're more dependent on the shepherd to an extreme degree. And we have the King in verse 34 who separates the sheep from the goats. Then the King will say to those on his right, you see the symbology, the right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then in verse 41, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The problem with hearing this is that we can take it to mean that those people are damned. And we're not. If you're this or you're that, or if you're not a Christian, depart into eternal fire. Everybody in every nation faces judgment. However, is this how we are to be spiritually formed by this parable? And by the lives that we live. To a degree, I mean, the judgment, yes, it shapes us, but is it the bigger picture? I would say no. And you can disagree with me, and there's plenty of people that would. And there's something happening here. Where is Christ? Let's keep that in mind. Where is Christ? Where is God's presence? James Brenneman says, our eternal destinies hang on two phrases. I was a stranger, and you took me in, verse 35. And I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Wow. Azaete Ramao Afujo, a little girl from the slums of Recife, Brazil, was the fifth of eight children. Her mother was an alcoholic. Her dad worked odd jobs. Azaete worked too. She worked as a maid for a rich family, and she washed clothes, scrubbed floors, cooked meals, and when she turned home, her mother would beat her. One day, a neighbor invited Azaete's mother to attend a nearby Mennonite church where she was welcomed and loved. And within weeks, Jesus changed her life. She became involved in the church, and she got Isaete involved in the church. Isaete eventually went to college, became a pastor, and returned to minister to those in the slums where she grew up. And she says she did it because somebody cared enough about her to welcome her and accept her, a stranger, an outsider, a kid from the slums. Not one more story. Audrey West tells a story about her dad. Her dad is this has been this active man his whole life. He's had a lot of close calls, and she calls him something of a walking miracle. He's survived a fall through the ice. He was bit by a rattlesnake. He survived. He had a massive exposure to rabies, lived through that. A double diagnosis of melanoma came through it. In his 50s, he had a stroke. He came back from that. In his 60s, after having quadruple bypass surgery, he convinced the doctors to let him go home after 2 days. At 71, he's at work, and he has his pelvis crushed by a passenger van. He quits his, and he continues working after that, and he quits his job at 78 years old. And she says of her father, her dad, in his early 80s, was stricken with a neurological illness called Lewy body dementia, the same disease that afflicted comedian Robin Williams. And he had become confined to a hospital bed. And she said, and she describes her father's conditions, and then she describes the help that was given to them. She describes the volunteers, paid and unpaid, who were in the local area and who would come from as far away as Fiji. All these people that would help the family with her dad's condition. And he lived for another 6 years. But the love and the friendship and the service that was showed to her family and to her and to her dad. Verse 36, I was sick and you looked after me. In these stories and in the gospel message, there is no quid pro quo. That's Latin, means that if you give me something, I will give you something in return. A lot of you have probably heard that saying. Every time I hear it, I think of the movie Silence of the Lambs, if you've ever seen that movie. It's been years, but anyway, there's no quid pro quo in these stories or in the gospel message. There's no thought about what I'm going to get back in return. And Stanley Saunders says of the goats, the goats are unrighteous, not because they're godless, they believe in God, and not because they're unethical, it's because they're motivated by self-interest, by what the king can ultimately give to them. And what's the criteria of the spiritual formation here, of the lesson? It's belief. Is it belief or religious identity that marks who inherits the kingdom of God? It's not. In verses 37 through 39, the hearers are surprised, and they're surprised. They are taken back. And they say to Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes, clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And here we have the surprise and the secret. Where is Christ? Christ presides with the least of these, verse 40. God's presence is with the least of these. God's there. God's there with the least of these. The King and the Lord of all creation is with the least of these. It's breathtaking. Do we grasp the breadth and the depth of God's love for us, for our church? It is a time of thanksgiving, and I do hope that you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving this coming week. This Thursday, we'll celebrate that.
however you might do that. One thing about Thanksgiving is that it's one of those events that can transcend time. And what I mean by that is that there's these traditions and things that get done on Thanksgiving, and it's only done that time of year. So this Thanksgiving may have more in common with the Thanksgiving of 50 years ago than what Thanksgiving has in common with last Tuesday. There's this transcendence through the ritual and through the rhythm of time. Another example of a transcending events is the Passover Seder, which Jews celebrate throughout the world. There's the ritual of unleavened bread and bitter herbs, prayer, scriptures. For Christians, for us, there's the rhythm of communion when we celebrate that. I don't know how often you celebrate communion here at Brush Hill, probably monthly, I would assume. So each and every time that we come together as Christians and we take part in the Lord's Supper, we are transcending time, going back 2,000 years. When they celebrated that Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples. All this is to say that Christ is present to us. Christ is present in our lives. Christ is here right now. What may seem like small acts do make a difference in people's lives. Shoebox ministries, loaves and fishes ministries, Toys for Tots, Christian Cooperative Ministry, Our United Outreach, OUO, that's of our denomination. It all makes a difference. God's presence is with the church and in our lives. God lives downtown at the Nashville Rescue Mission. And they do accept volunteers for those that want to serve food down there or something else. And God is with those who have COVID-19. God is with those in prison. Where is God? Where is God? God is with the least of these. This is so important to grasp, I think. The King of all creation is where there is love, where there is kindness, and where there is mercy. With the least of these, that is the kingdom of God. It's really just blows me away. I try to wrap my mind around it. We have the Lord, the Creator of all. And where is God? We're the least of these. This is where God chooses to be. It's like, wow, God, whoa. So it's often our job as Christians, even if we do not recognize God's presence, and God's presence is there with you right now, it's to love without expectation of receiving anything in return. And I'm not saying that's an easy job for any of us. Amen. I would love at this time to lead you all in a time of pastoral prayer. And then after that, I do have to run out the door and make it to Madison First, Cumberland Presbyterian Church down the road. And our service starts there at 11. So I'm going to run out the door after we pray. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we're able to get up and be here together, see each other's faces and hear each other's voices and hear the music and the beauty of the music and the song. Lord, we're thankful for opportunities here at Brush Hill, the leadership and all that we do in your kingdom here through this church and all the sister churches in our denomination and the church throughout the world. Lord, we give you thanks for being with us, for your presence, and for leading us. God, you know all that is in our hearts, and we do bring that to you this morning. may be a little different for all of us. We each have different needs and fears and wants. We do pray, Lord, that you continue to shape our hearts, to spiritually form us, to bring us closer, to bring us closer to your kingdom, to help us love. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us when we get to that place, when we have the attitude of, oh, this is horrible and this sucks, and we start to feel down on ourselves or others or the world. Lord, we would ask in those moments that you remind us and bring us close of all the blessings that we do have, the love in our hearts and the love we've had throughout our lives. It's more than enough to sustain us. But we forget sometimes of the deep love that we have been given and that we're able to give. And Lord, we ask you to help us remember that. Meet each and every person here today, wherever they may be in their lives, whatever age they may be, whatever situation they may be. God, we ask your blessings to be with each of us individually and be with us as a church, as a community of God, that we may do your will. We pray for healing. We pray for guidance. We pray for sustainment. And we give you praise, Lord. We do give you the praise. We bless you, God. Be with us, or be with all those that will be here the rest of the service, and bless them with a beautiful service and singing, and fill the hearts of those that are here with love. And then may that continue the rest of the week. Be with Reverend Paul Tucker, that he may recover soon. Pray he does not have COVID and he's able to be here throughout the coming week and next week, and that he may get better. And we pray for all those that have COVID, and we pray for a speedy deployment of the vaccine. And whatever it is that's right now on the heart of your servant in this congregation, on the hearts of your people, Lord, be with them. Meet them there and guide them. God us all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you for those words.